Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, maybe you're thinking Tales from the End, right? Maybe you're just joining us today and you think, where does Tales from the End, where does that really come from? Well, we take that from the parable that Jesus told, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And in that parable, there is a Jewish man who is on a journey. He's going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And as he's on his way, he gets attacked by bandits and he gets stripped of his clothes. He's beaten and he's left half dead in the ditch beside the road. And Jesus is telling the story and says a priest happens to come by, but the priest didn't stop and help him. The priest actually walks to the other side of the road. And then there is a temple assistant, like an associate pastor or one of the key leaders at the church, comes by, sees the man in this horrible state, but he also just passes by on the other side of the road. Then there was this despised Samaritan, because remember, Samaritans and Jews, they did not get along. And as Jesus is telling the story, this despised Samaritan comes, and this despised Samaritan comes to this man's aid, actually bandages him up and carries him to the inn. And that's where we come into the story, because we believe here at North Point that the church is the inn at the crossroads of life. We are the place where Jesus can bring those who have been wounded, who are hurting, who are in desperate need of peace and joy and purpose and meaning, that right here at the inn, that's where those things can be found. And so we kind of take that out of the story, but let's just remember what's happening right now with the story. Where Jesus tells the parable, but he was telling the parable in response to a question that was asked by an expert of the law. When the man asked this question, he says, "Who is my neighbor?" Now, that question follows a statement that the man had just made, really about like the key of life. He said the key to life is loving God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and then loving your neighbor as yourself. But then he asked the question, who is my neighbor? Because he really wanted clarification. He wanted to know, what are the boundaries? What are the parameters? What are the limits? How far do I really have to go? And who does this command really apply to? Now, isn't that just the perfect, accurate picture of our human condition? Wanting to know the boundaries, wanting to know how close we can get, how far we really have to go or how far we can't go, always wanting to know, what does that look like? You see, whenever we see this man in the story, what I think about is I think about this human condition, or we could even call it this human disease of just enough. He wants to know who is my neighbor? Because I want to love them just enough. I need to know the boundaries and the limitations and the parameters, because I want to do just enough. And this is our condition even today. This story took place almost 2,000 years ago as Jesus was telling the story. But isn't it funny how humans are the same today, infected with the disease of just enough? Wanting to do just enough for the company so that they don't get fired. Wanting to do just enough for our spouse so that they stay somewhat happy with us. Wanting to do just enough for our coach so that they don't get too angry and punish us with wind sprints at the end of practice. Wanting to do just enough to make ourselves feel good about ourselves. Wanting to do just enough so that people who see us doing just enough will think, wow, well, they really are a pretty good person, and ultimately want to do just enough so that we can squeeze into heaven whenever that time comes. You see, I say this is the human condition because this is not a behavior that is learned by some people. Instead, this is programmed into the DNA of all people. This is a part of our fallen nature. And you say, okay, Philip, I want you to prove that. My case is stated solely on this. Children. That's right. If you ask your kids to clean their room, is their goal to do it just good enough so that they don't have to redo it, to do it just good enough so that they don't get in trouble, to do it just good enough so that they can carry on about their day? Or do they want to do it so well that you will be speaking of how immaculate that room was for the next 20 years? I don't believe I need to answer that question. I believe you can answer that question yourself. As a matter of fact, just last week, Carolina Lee, my 9-year-old daughter, all of our girls were cleaning their room, and I went up into Carolina Lee's room, and when I got up there, everything was off the floor and everything looked pretty good, and she got the thumbs up. But that night when I was putting her in bed, and I sat down on her bed, and I looked right overhead, and in the corner of her bed were two dirty socks sticking right up. And I said, "Carolina, how are there two dirty socks? You cleaned your room today." And she got this look on her face and this kind of little grin, and she goes, "Dad, I don't know how those got there. Where did those socks come from?" And I want to say, I know exactly how those socks got there. It is from the condition and the disease called just enough. And as Jesus is telling this parable, Jesus is destroying our just enough tendency. The Samaritan doesn't just clean the man's wounds in the story. He doesn't just bandage him up. He doesn't just drop him off at the end. He doesn't just give him an encouraging word and hope for the best. He doesn't just stay the night with this man to make sure he's okay. Yes, he does all of that. And he also tells the innkeeper that he will personally pay for any extra expense. Jesus was telling us that just enough is not enough. And we've been saying this whole time that Jesus is our good Samaritan, right? That we are the ones who are hurting and broken and in need of something that we cannot give to ourselves. And Jesus, our good Samaritan, comes along and gives us something that we could never give, but we were desperately in need of. And we know that, Jesus has also asked each and every one of us as his followers, if we are believers in Jesus, then Jesus has asked us to model our lives after him, to follow his will, to follow his way, to live just like him. And when we look at the life of Jesus, we see that Jesus did not give just enough, but instead Jesus gave it all. Jesus didn't give just enough, but Jesus gave it all. And as innkeepers, as Jesus followers, we cannot live under the deception that just enough is good enough. I want to say that again. As Jesus followers and as innkeepers right here at the end, we cannot live under the deception that just enough is good enough. And actually, Jesus, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he's speaking to the crowd, and this is what Jesus says. He was saying to them, "If anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, he must deny himself, set aside selfish interest, and take up his cross daily, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come. And follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me." See, this right here, this doesn't look at all like just enough. And Jesus was letting us know that if we are going to follow him and be his disciple, just enough is not going to be good enough. So what do we have to do? We have to break the mindset and the habit of just enough. We have to get rid of this condition of just enough. And there are three ways that we can do that. They're found right here in this verse. This is the pattern for breaking that mindset of just enough. And the first is that we need to admit selfishness. We need to admit selfishness. We need to say, I have selfish interests. The scripture said that we have to set aside selfish interests. You cannot set aside what you are trying to hide. You can't set aside what you are willingly trying to hide. No, instead, we have to expose that selfishness and say, hey, I can be very selfish. We have to admit our selfishness. The second thing is that we affirm surrender. And that's what he says. He says, you have to take up your cross daily. You have to express your willingness. You have to express that willingness. That is me expressing my desire to change, my desire not to be in control of my own life, but for Jesus to be in control of my life. I have to affirm that surrender. And third, I have to add sacrifice. I have to live according to Jesus's example. And Jesus's example was an example of sacrifice and service. And so we see this pattern. We see this pattern, Jesus laying out this pattern for us of if we are going to be his followers, this is what it is going to look like. But we don't just see it here. Actually, the Apostle Paul speaks to this in the book of Philippians as he's writing to the church at Philippi. And in chapter 2, verse 3, he says, when you do things, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Now, see, I can tell you, if you're not aware, selfishness and pride will be your guide. But when you are aware and admit your selfish tendencies and you expose it, then you can move beyond it. He says, instead, be humble and give more honor to others than to yourselves. Do not be interested only in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others. In your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. Come on, this is the second step right there. Affirm surrender. You're surrendering to God's way, thinking and acting like Christ, giving more honor to others than you do yourself, thinking about their interest and not only your interest, remaining humble. It is affirming surrender. And lastly, there in verse 8, it says, and when he, speaking of Jesus, was living as a man, he humbled himself and was fully obedient to God, even when that caused his death, death on a cross. And come on, what do we see right there? We see sacrifice. We see the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus sacrificing his life, of giving everything for us. You see, I want to take these three things and I want to break them down because I believe today that we need to break this mindset. We need to break this habit. We need to break free from this just enough condition so that we can have everything that God wants us to have. So let's look. Number one, admit selfishness. What does that mean? What is selfishness? Let's define that. Lacking consideration for others. Concerned chiefly with one's own personal profit or pleasure. You know, it is easier to admit your selfishness when you are not in the middle of the act of selfishness. It's easier whenever you're sitting in church or maybe you're even sitting in your living room right now and we're willing to admit, well, yeah, you know, there are times when I can be selfish, but in your moment of selfishness, when somebody calls you out for being selfish in that moment and they say, you are selfish, and you say, what, me? I'm selfish? Well, let me tell you who is selfish. You are the one who is selfish. And maybe you've had this conversation with a coworker. Maybe you've had this conversation with your spouse or with a sibling. You get into this moment, and in that moment, you are not going to admit that you are selfish, but we all know. We all know. We have all been there. We've got the t-shirt. We know what it is to be selfish. And here's the powerful thing. We've got to admit it if we want to change it. We've got to admit it if we want to move beyond it. There's the thing I can tell you about selfishness, is that selfishness loves to hide in the dark. It hides behind the veil of excuses and exceptions. Selfishness loves to latch on to lies. Lies like this: nobody is ever going to be for you. Success only comes to those who put themselves first. You better get all you can. You better can all that you get, and you better sit on that can. But you see, I think that we've all lived long enough to know that selfishness does not solve our problems. Selfishness will actually create more problems. I love this quote from Napoleon Hill that says, "Great achievement is usually born of great sacrifice and is never the result of selfishness." Great achievement. It's usually born of great sacrifice. We're going to get to sacrifice in a minute, but it says this, that it is never the result of selfishness. You see, before we can ever get to sacrifice, we have to first admit our selfishness, because selfishness is going to keep us from achieving great things. And you see, I believe that God created you for a purpose. I believe that God created you to use you for His glory and purpose here on this earth. You were created to do good works. That's what the scripture says. But any good and great achievement, it will not be accomplished through selfishness. Selfishness is not our problem solver. It is our problem creator. And we must be willing to admit our selfishness so that we can move beyond it. Now let's move to the second thing, second part of this pattern, so that we can break free of this just enough condition. Not only do we admit selfishness, but we have to affirm surrender. We have to affirm surrender. The definition for surrender is this: to yield to the possession or power of another. To yield to the possession or power or even the authority of another. You see, if you are not currently doing this every day, then you should start. You should start doing this every day. And actually, this is the part where Jesus said you have to take up your cross, and you have to take up that cross daily. You see, that's why you have to affirm your surrender daily. And you should do this with your words. You should do this out loud, and you should daily declare your surrender to Him. You should declare your allegiance to live life God's way and not your way. You should declare your commitment to humble yourself and to honor others. You should declare your desire to think less about you and more about others. You see, you will have to affirm surrender before you will ever live surrendered. Our goal is that we would live surrendered, but you see, we must affirm that surrender before we will ever live that surrender out in our lives. And it's really simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Can I just give you a quick prayer of surrender that you could pray every single morning? I'm talking about you are laying in bed, and as soon as those eyes pop open, you could pray this short prayer every day. God, this is your day. I want to live your way. God, this is your day. You're saying, God, you have the authority over this day. You have the power over this day. God, this is your day, and I want to live your way. That means I want my words to be your words. I want my reactions to be your reactions. God, I want to live life your way. What you are doing in that moment is you are yielding to God's authority in your life, and you should do that every single day. Affirm that surrender. But the third thing that we have to do, not only are we going to admit that selfishness and affirm that surrender, but the third thing is we are going to add sacrifice. We are going to add sacrifice. Let me give you a definition for the word sacrifice. It is an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. To give up something of value, you're giving up something valuable for something that you deem more important or more worthy. See, whenever I've noticed a lot of people wearing the WWJD bracelets, right? WWJD, what would Jesus do? But whenever we think about this adding sacrifice. It's not just what would Jesus do. We could say it's WDJD, what did Jesus do? Because what Jesus did do is what Jesus would do. And Jesus would sacrifice. And how did that play out in his life? It played out in him serving humanity. As a matter of fact, that's what Jesus said. I did not come to be served, but I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And we are called to live our lives like Jesus lived on this planet. And when we live a life of sacrifice to God, we will live a life of service for others. Let me say that for you again. When we live a life of sacrifice to God, we will live a life of service for others. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, so then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. You see, your sacrifice to God is found in your service to others. That's what the author of Romans, the Apostle Paul, is writing. And he says, listen, this is what you should do. You should offer up your lives to God. The way that you live, it ought to be worship to God. And because you live this way of serving and loving and blessing those around you, God is going to be worshiped. The writer of Hebrews actually says this in Hebrews 13, 16, and don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Don't forget to do good. Don't forget to share with those who are in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. You see, we can never get so caught up in going to church that we forget about being the church. We can't get to the place where we just sing praise. No, instead, we have to also serve people. We can't get so comfortable in just saying the right things that we forget that we have to do the hard things. You see, we are called to live like Jesus lived on this earth, and Jesus lived a life of sacrifice, and he lived that life of sacrifice by serving others, and he is calling us to serve others in that exact same capacity. You see, today you're going to hear a story about a man that came here to the inn. And not only was he encouraged and inspired and welcomed here at the inn, he was also challenged here in the inn like never before. Check it out.
We started coming to North Park in February. We had visited several churches in the area when we moved out to Benton, and we were looking for that connection. We were looking for that connection where we felt at home. We knew no people that came to North Point, no one. We came, we looked up the service, and we came. And the first time we came in February, before the shutdown in March, they had prayer leaders on the side, and Pastor Philip called if anybody needed prayer. And I stood up automatically and said, this is a wonderful thing. And my wife said, where are you going? I said, I'm going over to this prayer team and get my needs prayed for. So I went over to the prayer partners that were on the right side of the sanctuary and said, here are my needs. And they said, we'll come in agreement with you on these needs. So I felt a connection right there. I felt a connection there. When I came back down and sat down in the service, I said, my needs are met. This is where we need to be. The Lord had put it on my heart to say, here's where you need to be, that your needs will be met. When the shutdowns happen, and we get the emails and we get the messages that, you know, everything's going online. And I started thinking to myself, I'm going to be home every day of the week. I said, I can't be that alone. So I said, I got to reach out. I emailed and said, I'm available every day but Monday. Serving was one of my gifts for a long time. I have a degree in sociology. My job is in sociology. So I've always felt the gift, but I've never branched out. I've never taken it upon myself to say, I can do more than my 40 hours at work. I've never taken it upon myself to say, I have more hours in my day. I have more time. I have time to help others. I would have never taken it out to a Friday, to a Saturday. I would have never branched out. And serving now, I can't see my daily life without once thinking about how can I serve someone else. And then on Sunday morning, when I'm at that door greeting, every Sunday morning for that 11 o'clock service, I'm connecting with people coming in. That's more relationships that will keep me grounded, more relationships with church members and church fans and just friends in general, that'll keep me grounded. North Point has made my thinking of the Lord, it's made my thinking of how God served others, how Jesus served others. It's making my thinking, how can I be more Christ-like, more like Jesus every day? You plan on how can I serve and when's the next opportunity? And that's the whole goal that's got in my life that I didn't have before. Instead of a regular church Sunday goer, now I'm involved with the church, now I'm serving with the church, and now I'm making those real connections that will be lifelong connections. And that's what it's meant to me.
Man, Kevin's story is so challenging and yet so inspiring at the same time. And now, but also know that some of you may have been offended by the hat that he was wearing there, the New Orleans Saints. But you know, like Destiny says, we are a community, we are a family. And the only way you know you're really a family is whenever you've gotten offended and you've stuck around to get over it. And so hopefully the Cowboy fans out there can get over that offense and hear the amazing story that Kevin just brought us. I love this, actually, this quote that says, "The purpose of human life is to serve and to show compassion and the will to help others." The purpose of human life is to serve. You see, that's what it takes to be an innkeeper. And if we want to be innkeepers, then we must be willing to show compassion and to serve those around us. You see, you don't break the just enough condition or the just enough habit or the just enough disease just by giving gingerly. No, you have to decide, I'm going to give generously. It's not whenever I live with that just enough. I'm gonna give just enough. I'm gonna do just enough. I'm gonna say just enough. I'm gonna be there just enough. No. It's not giving gingerly. No, it's giving generously. It's giving above. It's giving beyond. It's going the extra mile. It is doing what Jesus commanded us to do. It is being who He created us to be. And the only way that we do that is when we admit selfishness, whenever we affirm surrender, and whenever we add sacrifice. And when we do those things, we can break the just enough disease and we can begin to serve those around us like never, ever before. And I know this, as an innkeeper working here at the inn, that's what it takes to make an impact. That's what it takes to make a difference. That's what it takes if we are going to fulfill our mission of creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. Come on, let's pray today. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. God, thank you for the mercy that you have shown us. God, thank you for 2,000 years ago sending your one and only Son, not just to live a sinless life here on this earth, but to die on the cross and to be resurrected from the dead so that He might be our Lord and our Savior, that our sins might be forgiven, and that we might have relationship with you. Right now, maybe you're You're sitting there in your living room, maybe you're laying there in your bed, and you're saying, that's what I need. Philip, I need relationship with God. Maybe it's been just such a long time since you've really connected with God. Maybe you've never ever connected with God before, and you say, I need Jesus to find me. I'm like that man in the story. I feel broken. I am hurting. I am desperate. I need Jesus. I need Jesus to forgive my sins. I need Jesus to connect me in relationship with the Father. And right now you say, Philip, that is me. Come on, you just tell God. Just say, God, that's me. God, that's me. Right there where you are, just say, God, that is me. I need you in my life. And maybe you're watching now and you say, Philip, I want to be an innkeeper. I don't want to live with just enough mentality. I don't want to live with that just enough disease. No, I am ready. I am ready to admit selfishness. I am ready to affirm surrender. I am ready to add that sacrifice. I am ready to live the life that God created me to live. That's how I want to live my life. Say, that's me. Come on, just tell God right now. Say, God, that's me. That's me, God. I am ready to be an innkeeper in the inn. Father, I thank you for all of those that just lifted their voice and said, God, that is me. Father, I thank you that you are there. God, that you are coming even right now in this moment. God, that your presence is coming. God, that your love is flowing, that your grace is there. God, thank you for what you are doing. God, we keep reaching for you. We keep connecting with you, and we keep growing and developing and becoming who you have called us to be. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Come on, put an amen on that today. Hey, I just want to say once again, thank you so much for watching. And hey, I just think that Kevin's story was inspiring to some people. I believe that as you were listening to that story, you were thinking, man, I want to do what he's doing. I want to be a part of that. Listen, you can sign up to serve. We've got on-campus teams. We've got online teams. If you want to serve online, you can serve right there from your house. You don't have to leave your house. You don't have to come here to the building. We have teams and places for you to serve right there online. And if you are interested in doing that, please contact us now. We want to know that you want to serve. We will get you connected. We will get you plugged in, and maybe all of us together, we can all have a story like Kevin, a story of serving, a story of sacrifice, a story of really making a difference. Being an innkeeper, that's who we all want to be. Hey, I'll see you next week. God bless.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.